This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Women bringing you feminist news and public affairs programming. That's every Friday night at 6 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. Make sure to check us out on the web, www.kboo.fm/breadandresist. There you can listen to past shows, post comments, or show ideas. You can also find us on Facebook under KBOO Bread and Roses. For this first Friday of KBOO's membership drive, we host an extra special show with extra special women. That was a mouthful. Tonight, we want to introduce you to an amazing local organization working with young people to help them create original plays, powerful vehicles through which their voices are heard. The organization is called Playwright, Inc., and they organize playwriting workshops with youth at the age, and that's on between quotation mark. The young participants collaborate with theater professionals throughout the process of crafting a play, from character development to directing professional actors, is what they are exposed to during these workshops. Joining us in the studio tonight is Lindsay Hoagland, program director for Playwright. Lindsay has worked for over 17 years as a production stage manager and technical director for numerous companies. She believes strongly in the integral role that storytelling plays in the intellect and vivacity of a civilization, and is immensely proud to be a founding member of Playwright Inc. And we are also joined by Allison Osborne, who is an actor and also a founding member of Playwright and worked as a coach for the organization. Finally, we are joined by two stars, Rydalyn and Francesca. Rydalyn is in 10th grade, and she is a gifted artist, a very talented storyteller, and has a passion for music. Francesca is in 9th grade. She's an incredible dancer and singer and a leader who never misses an opportunity to stop bullying and injustices. Both of them participated recently in a playwriting workshop, and they will be telling us about their experience going through the workshop, and they will also read from their plays. Welcome, all of you, to Bread and Roses. It's a pleasure to have you here tonight.
Hey, Delphine.
I also want to thank the people behind the scene who actually make that happen tonight, including drivers and case managers and all those people. Lindsay, let's start with you. Can you tell us a little bit more about what Playwright does and what is your mission?
Mm-hmm, I can. So Playwright has been around since 2003. This is actually our 10th year. We'll be celebrating our 10th year in November. We're a local nonprofit here in Portland that conducts 10-day long playwriting workshops with young writers all over the Portland metro area. Our mission statement, I brought my card so I don't forget, is using the power of performance in art to transform the lives of youth at the edge. So in our 10-day long writing workshops, we pair writing coaches one-on-one with young writers. So every writer gets their own coach, and at the end of our workshop has written their own play, which we have performed by professional actors.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain a little bit more what youth at the edge means?
I can, yeah. So we wanted a term to kind of encapsulate the diversity in all of the students that we work with. And youth at the edge is actually a phrase that some of our students at Mount Scott came up with. And we liked it, so we kept it. Because at the edge can mean a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Our writers are often at the edge of becoming adults. Mm-hmm. They often have edgy backgrounds, life experience. They're often edgy themselves. And in our workshop, I would say, they're often at the edge of creative discovery.
And frustration.
And frustration, yeah, which is part of the process. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And who are some of the organization that you partner with? Where are some of the places that that you go to with your coaches for these workshops?
We work at a number of different facilities. facilities here in the Portland metro area, and it's kind of across the board. So we work at a number of alternative high schools. We work with New Avenues for Youth, which is works mostly with homeless and transitioning youth downtown. We work at a number of lockdown and treatment facilities. Mm-hmm. We work with the children of migrant farm workers. So we really pair with a lot of different groups doing a lot of good work and find young writers all over the city that way.
Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to turn, before we go to our fundraising moment here, because we want to remind you, listeners, of the importance to contributing to your community radio station. I wanted to find out from Rita Lynn, how long ago did you take this workshop?
It was probably like, I would say about a month and a half ago.
A month and a half ago.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. That's when we
Yeah, and you too, Francesca?
It. Yeah.
Yeah. And how long did it last? 10 days?
Yeah. Didn't last like 2 weeks?
Yeah,
two
it was like 2 weeks.
It's 10 days over a 2.5 week yeah. period, yeah.
Wow. And how intense was that?
Very intense.
It was how many hours a day?
Oh.
3 hours
a wasn't day. It was from 8 to 12, right?
That's like 9 to 12, yeah.
9 to 12, so yeah.
So the entire morning
yeah.
for 10 days,
mm-hmm.
yeah, being tortured, pretty much. We're going to go to our fundraising break, and then we'll come back to this discussion, and we'll get to hear a lot of the plays and the good stuff that they've written. This is Bread and Roses.
Welcome. This is Carol. I'm Bread and Roses in the Bread and Roses Collective, and we are kicking off a spring celebration right here.
And I'm Leela Pruitt, also a Bread and Roses host, and so delighted to have the playwright women here and hopefully to be hearing from you all as well. The number we have is 877-500-KBOO. That is 877-500-5266.
And I said it's a spring celebration because truly this is the time. We just had spring turn the corner into summer, got the spring equinox, and this is the time to celebrate KBOO. We have our membership drive just once or twice a year, and it's a great time to join the KBOO family. So 877-500-5266. And I want to also announce that Playwright has donated some T-shirts as a thank you gift for those of you who become members. It's a $60 minimum pledge. Call us, 877-500-5266. There's just a few T-shirts, so you want to call pretty soon.
And $60 pledge is only $1.12 a week. That's what, a quarter of a latte now?
That's correct. When I think of KBOO, I think of it as a university where all sorts of training happens, where people can learn all sorts of radio, where it's a true democracy. And this show tonight about Playwright is about teaching young people, giving them a voice, and together we're sharing that voice. An incredible, incredible group, Playwright. We have a select number of T-shirts available to you, 877-500-5266.
And remember, if you listen to KBOO, the only way we continue to broadcast 24/7 is through listener support. Please become part of the KBOO community right now.
Oh, and it's newsflash. We have a $400 goal for this show. So that's, let's see, how many T-shirts is that? So we'd like several of you to call right now, 877-500-5266.
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Delphine Crescenzo. And we are here, as Carol and Leela pointing out, with the people from Playwright. And yes, please, if you donate $60 tonight, you get a thank you gift with thank you for considering community radio. And that's a Playwright T-shirt. And they're really cool. Aren't they cool, girls?
Yeah, I liked it.
Well, you got one.
Mine shrank in the wash.
Playwright yeah, yeah. T-shirt.
Mine shrank, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine
what did they look like?
It says Playwright. There's a few different colors, but they're really cute.
Mm-hmm. They're really cute. Let's go back. And Lindsay, would you please describe to us really what a workshop will look like? So you said this is 10-day. And so what's happening during these 10 days, really intensive hours?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, it takes the 10 days are over 2.5 weeks. The first week is 4 days. The first day we come in, we meet the young writers, because we've never met them before. We do a number of different theatrical demonstrations. They get to see a scene from Death of a Salesman. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of sensory work. We do a wonderful writing exercise where the young writers taste a mystery flavor and they get to describe in detail what that's like for them. They get to smell a mystery smell, which is an essential oil in a vial, and then write about in detail what that is like for them. We do a lot of exploration of conflict and dramatic conflict and how that's how you engage an audience. And also in that first week, each writer develops 3 non-human characters of their own. They develop an animal character, an object in nature character, and a man-made object character, a human-made object character. And those characters are unique to the writer. In the second week, we pair them one-on-one with the same coach for the entire week. They really delve in and flesh out the characters that they developed in the first week. They pick 2 of their 3 characters, develop a history for those characters, develop a conflict for those characters, and then write a play between those 2 characters exploring that conflict. And then on the 10th day, which is on the 3rd week, we have a performance of their plays. They get to meet mm-hmm. professional actors that we've cast in their plays. They get to direct those actors in their plays, and then we put it up on stage in front of an audience.
Francesca, I saw that you made a face when she mentioned the things that you had to taste and smell.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was really hard, like, trying to go into detail, which actually helped me through the actual process doing writing our own characters. But it was really hard. Like, she'd be like, what does that smell? And I'm like, it smells like peppermint. I'm like, what does that remind you of? I'm like, it reminds me of peppermint. Like, where have you smelled that before? Like, what is there? It was just really hard to, like, it smells exactly like this, like, to go really in detail.
Mm-hmm. And writer Lynn, can you share a really fun activity that you did? Because I hear you did a lot during that first week. A lot of fun things.
I honestly thought my favorite activity was when we had to do, like, our own little mini, like, write out of what they had presented to us. And we had to, like, finish it. So it was, like, mm-hmm. about this snail named Shelby and... I think that's
it was the boat.
Was the boat named Shelby? And then
I remember.
And then there's a snail. Shelby, that was really fun. It was the first day.
Yeah, and I really liked that because the coach I worked with, like, he thought my play was really good. And then when they performed it, Dell, like, laughed so hard because
that's Dell person you're talking about.
She thought it was really funny, and that was, like, I think that was my favorite because everybody had different opinions on what both characters would say, so it was actually really fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was
really I really fun. Liked that too because it could, like you start out with the same, like, beginning, but it could go in any different way, and, like, I really liked that it was unique to each person.
Mm-hmm. And so you've been mentioning, Lindsay, a lot of the coaches, and maybe that's a good time for Allison to jump in and tell us about who are the coaches and what are you guys' role? Because you are a coach.
Yes, I am a coach. Excuse me. Well, we come from the acting community, most of us. Some of us have teaching backgrounds or other kinds of work we've done with youth. We're vetted by current coaches thinking that somebody will be a good fit. So it's that's how we find our way to playwright. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty interesting skill set to be a coach because you need to be a good listener. And one of the hardest things is probably the ability to listen and just zip it, to not want to supply answers, to not want to finish sentences for kids. We really are committed to the idea that this is their voice, and it sounds great to say that, but it's actually sometimes difficult. There can be some long silences when you ask somebody a deep question and really wait for them to plumb their own depths and find the answers, and we're committed to that, and it's worth it. It's a great experience.
Yeah, what are some of the rewards?
Oh, wow.
Of being a coach?
Well, their candor is really wonderful. Okay, I'm just going to share kind of a funny story. This happened actually at the facility where we just worked with you two, where I'm sitting close up, one-on-one, working with somebody. So this is kind of great since it's a radio medium. Uh-huh. And she said, you know, you look like you've been in prison a lot. And
she told you that?
Yes. But see, I love that, that she, we're so, and I don't know if I do or not, but I just love that she felt she could say something like that to another adult. And it was something about, I don't know, that she, her affect was lowered enough that she could say what she thought. And actually, that took a big writing leap after that as well, because I think she jumped one of her own little hurdles. And it was an interesting experience. So you get really charming, you know, link letter moments like that where kids say the darndest things. But the beauty of what they write, obviously, is it's tremendous. And you know that Eleanor Roosevelt quote, you must do the thing you think you cannot do. Well, you get to watch somebody think that they can't do something, and they do it. And the sense of pride that our writers feel at the end is really, it's earth-shattering.
Mm-hmm. Francesca, can you talk a little bit about your relationship with your coach, the coach that you spent an entire week writing a play with?
My coach, I'm not going to lie, Paul.
Don't lie.
I'm not going to lie. When I first saw him, I was like, he looks really weird. Like, he looks interesting. But then when I really got to know them, like, after the first day, I was like, he seems really weird. He has to be my coach, because I just have to find the most person that I would never think that we would get along. And I knew we would get along so well. And in the end, we did. And he really pushed me through the entire thing. Like, sometimes I kind of wanted to quit. But he was like, okay, that's fine. Like, if you want to quit, then you can. You don't have to do this. But I was like, I don't have to. But I just really want to do it for myself, you know. And I keep going, and it was a lot of fun at the end.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Ryder Lynn? How was your coach?
So my coach's name was Anne, and when I first met her, like, I honestly just didn't want to, like, be around her as much, because, like, not
you
that she
girls
was,
are awesome.
Not that she was, like, a bad person.
What did
person.
You think about me?
It's just that, like, this one activity, dude, we had to, like, pretend to be, like, an animal. And, like, I was by her when she was pretending to be this hawk, and it scared me so bad. And it just... And then, like, when I got her as my coach, because I worked with her once in an activity, and she was actually really nice. Like, she helped me out and everything, and she pretty much, you know, set limits on what I wanted to say, and she kind of was like, you know, let's change this, or let's try to find a different route. Like, she would write down things, and then we'd pretty much put it all into one, and that would be our answer. Mm-hmm. So she was pretty amazing coach, and I, like, am really glad I got to work with her. And I pretty much teared up the last day I was with her, because I told her I got so close to her. And I said, and something happened during those weeks of Playwright, and I was really depressed, and I was really sad, and I just didn't even want to come to Playwright half the time. And she let me sit there, and she let me vent to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she let me, like, cry to her pretty much. So, like, she special to me. So I really
That's awesome.
Enjoy Anne.
On that really positive note, we're going to go back to Carol and Leela. Remember about these Playwright shirts, and they're going to remind you all about it. This is Bread and Roses. I'm Del Crescenzo.
And good evening. And we are the Spring Membership Drive Central here. Carol and Leela, we are a positive note on this wonderful show, Playwright. First, I want to thank the food donors, Bar Carlo, 6433 Southeast Foster Road, Ford Food and Drink, 2505 Southeast 11th Avenue, and Nepo 42, 5403 Northeast 42nd Avenue. These food donors have provided refreshments for the many, many staff members that it takes to operate this spring membership drive.
And here's the deal. Playwright is the organization that we're interviewing tonight on Bread and Roses, a fantastic group of actors in town who are coaching women, young women, to tell their stories, and what a lot of stories they have. And they've donated some T-shirts specially for this show. So it's only available in the next 45 minutes to get those T-shirts. They are a thank you gift for a $60 minimum donation, and you can donate by calling 877-500-5266. So again, this pledge drive, something new, only one phone number, 877-500-5266. And when you call in, just mention about the T-shirts, and our lovely volunteers here will answer those phones and give you all the info you need.
A $60 a year donation, 16 cents a day. And you get wonderful programming 24/7 every day of the year here on KBOO.
And KBOO's made so many changes over the years. One of them is our fantastic website. That's www.kboo.fm.
And, you know, we have online listeners from Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine, from Mexico to China, Finland to South Africa, and perhaps you too. We, Carol and I were just recently in Guatemala, and we could get the KBOO-FM podcast, and we could stream live. It is quite amazing.
And what's even more amazing is how that happens. And it happens from all sorts of donations, big donations, small donations. We come to you asking for these donations just once or twice a year. That's 877-500-5266. If you're on the computer, go to kboo.fm. But KBOO used to not have all their material online. A while back, you weren't able to do any podcast. But how that's happened is thanks to you, all those listeners out there that are helping keeping KBOO on the air and making sure we advance with the times. This is such a valuable resource.
And just to let you know, every new listener who logs on to receive the stream on KBOO.fm costs the station money. It's like having your own direct personal radio connection. And the only way we can continue offering you this service is through your financial support. We want you to donate right now. If you're on the net, use our secure form at kboo.fm.
And the thing is, small donations are valuable. And we receive so many small donations. So if you don't make that much money, donate an hour of your time to KBOO. Call in at 877-500-5266. I'm hearkening back to the old days. 877-500-5266 and online at kboo.fm. Click on the tip jar.
And also every day of our spring membership drive, you have the chance to win a print of an historic KBOO poster suitable for framing. See Day's poster online at kboo.fm.
That's 877-500-5266.
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Delphine Crescenzo. Yeah, Lindsay just told me she liked how I pronounce my name. Okay, Lindsay.
Yes.
Why writing a play? Like, what can be accomplished through writing a play for these young women and guys, I guess?
That's a good question. Actually, we talk about, on the first day of the workshop, we talk to the young writers about what makes a play special. I'm tempted to make them.
Do you guys remember?
I remember.
Do you remember? Do you have any answer? I mean, there are a lot of answers.
Like, about why you guys did plays, pretty much?
Yeah. What makes a play specifically special?
Isn't it because you said, oh, yeah, I remember, because it makes it special because everyone has their own experiences, and you can put that on paper. So that's what makes playwright pretty special, is that's just, I guess that's how they work it, is they just get these kids and then they go in there and then they let them write down their own experiences that they have.
Yeah, there are a couple of answers to the question. A play is unique because it's live in front of an audience.
Yeah,
oh,
I remember
Francesca
now.
Francesca remembers.
Okay, I remember what you said. Because it's live in front of an audience. And, like, you feel like, I really got that too, because you feel like you're in it. Like, when you're watching a movie, you can pause it, you can rewind, you can start it over, you know. But when you're watching a play, it's kind of like, you're actually in it, like, because it's right in front of your face. You can't pause it. It just keeps going on, and, like, that's really cool.
Yeah. She's brilliant.
Yeah, and it's absolutely true.
Way to go, Francesca.
It's also true, at the core of what we do in Playwright, we talk a lot about emotional truth and how important emotional truth is to not only engaging your audience, but really creating great art. A play ends up being a really good vehicle for exploring emotional truth, dramatic conflict in general, because you have to take two different voices. These are two character plays. If you write a story, it's very easy to slip into a one narrator sort of play and to also write a story that you've told before. In our particular workshop, we're really exploring the emotional truth that comes out of conflict between characters. So that's something that's unique to a play.
So, right, Eileen, can you tell us how it feels to write a play? Had you ever written a play before?
No, I've never written a play.
So how does it feel?
Honestly, like, I feel proud of it because it's something that I can call my own. And it's something that I can, like, read back, or I could read to other people. And if they like it, then they like it. But if they don't, they don't. But it's still, like, something that's a part of me that I put on, and, you know, on paper for everyone to listen to. So it's like, it's really special to me.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Francesca? How did it feel to write a play?
Well, when we first started the whole process, I was like kind of freaking out. Like, I didn't even know. Like, I was like, do you know what your play is going to be about? I was asking everybody. I didn't even know what I was going to write about. But then I just love how we started it out with it. Like, we basically, I didn't even notice as I was writing it, but I was like putting my whole like background into it. And like, mm-hmm. we came up with, you know, all the characteristics of it. And I didn't even realize it related to me. And then Paul's like, how does this relate to you in your life? And I'm like, whoa, like that is actually.
Can you give an example?
No, I can't give an example right now.
I feel that way too. I felt like when I was writing it, like I was like, whoa, like this has like my whole life in it.
I didn't realize it until he was like, how does this relate to you? And I was like, it doesn't. And I was like, whoa, it actually does. Really? I was just making a character, but it was like me, but in a character.
Mm-hmm. So, Lindsay, why non-human characters?
Well, I think that we just heard the answer. Non-human characters allow the writer to really explore their own life history and their own emotions, but in the guise of this really creative writing exercise of exploring a non-human character. So it gives them some distance to explore some stuff. It also really allows them to be creative in a way that no one else has ever been creative. They get to create a character completely unique to them. They get to create. What were your characters? You had a snow pile.
I had a snow pile and porcelain mirror.
Right. So I can guarantee you she has written the only play about a snow pile and a frosted mirror. So it really allows them to be creative and dig into the lives of these unique characters.
So Francesca, would you do us the honor of reading your character description?
Frosty. Okay.
The snow pile.
Okay, Frosty is a snow pile, 2 years old, pretty big, as a bear, pretty hard on the inside, fresh, cold, kind of slippery, like an ice cube. The outside is fluffy and clean, the inside is yellow and muddy, kind of gray, like a colored pencil, dark gray, washed out. I eat the water when the snow melts. It goes on top of me and freezes and becomes me. It helps me to cover up what's really inside. I hide behind the other snow if I see any bright snow coming up or feel rain. I hide between other snow. It'll melt them before it melts me. When I was little, a few months old, I was water and dirt. I fit in with everything that was around me. Then I froze. It happened so fast, I didn't know what was going on. I was frozen dirty water. I looked like snow, but all the other snow made fun of me because I wasn't white and clean. I wasn't bright enough. More snow started freezing on top of me, and I realized it was a way to cover up the dirt, the gray parts. And my fear was bears. They sleep on me. They shimmy into my snow. They dig in. Feels like stabbing all over my head. When it leaves, I try to pick myself up and find what's me. Find myself so that I can be whole again. I never find all of it. Feels like there's a part of me out there that I'm missing.
Cool. This is powerful. So is there any part of this that when you read it again, you felt, yeah, that's me?
Yeah, because I always, like, I really didn't even realize any of this about me until Paul pointed it out. Like, he'd always told me that I'm so strong and, like, he can just tell that I, like, hold everything in, which I kind of know, but I didn't realize it. That it's just like that, like, I cover up stuff to try to look good on the outside, but the inside, you know, I do have a lot that's going on, and I'm, like, hurting. But you can never tell because, you know, just like the snow pile, I covered it up with happy things.
With fresh snow.
Yeah.
This is amazing. This deserves applause. Frosty, the snow pile. Do you have a little character you want to talk about? You have two characters. Who are they? What do they do? This is Ryder Lynn's characters.
All right. So my characters were Slick the Anaconda Snake and Peanut, who is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I love peanuts.
I know. So pretty much like two characters are like way opposite from each other. Like, and I think that's what makes it special to me, is because like I have two pretty much just different opposite personalities in, you know, myself. And do you want me?
You're divided.
Yeah.
Many of us are. Do you want to read a character description, or is that the whole play?
No, this is just the
description.
Pretty much monologue.
Okay. Monologue, so, like, from your characters.
So this is Peanut, my sandwich, and pretty much he's staring into what I call the oasis, which is the title on my play. It's called The Heart of the Oasis. And he's staring into it, and he sees, like, this rainbow of water, and he says, "I found something so beautiful. How could I have found such warm sand underneath me, the most crystal blue water, and the most juiciest of fruits? And it's all mine. This adventure from the tip of my cupboard, from the endless calm roads, has made me realize what it means to be a true sandwich." "I never thought I could, that I could conquer these fears. Spiders, leaving the kitchen, and traveling beyond what I've seen. Just yesterday, I was being told by the sandwiches that mean the most to me, you can't be anything more than what you already are. And anything beyond the kitchen is just pointless. For once in my life, I've proved to myself that I'm not just any normal sandwich, that I am different and that there is a point when you really want something. I left the kitchen, went on this journey because I want to make something of myself. I am a thinker. I think more than other sandwiches do. I need something to bring to them. My daredevil friends just always doing crazy stuff, doing the same stuff over and over again. If I bring something back, their respect for me would change, but I don't know how to prove it to them." So pretty much, my character Peanut relates to me because, I mean, I've had tons of people in my life who've told me I can't do anything or I can't be more than what I'm already am, which, you know, is what they think of me. So I kind of had to prove to them by, you know, going above and beyond of what I've done in my life. And honestly, like, I feel like I've conquered a lot of things. And honestly, it's because of two particular people in my life that have helped me out through everything that I've been through. So, like, I owe everything to them. Like, they're my life. So this is why this character means so much to me, is because I'm a thinker. Like, mm-hmm. I think about more things than I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Who ever thought a peanut butter sandwich could think? Absolutely. And I think that there's something else that's powerful, really, is, you know, we have all these objects and these things around us, and sometimes we don't, you know, think about them more than that. But then here you are giving birth and life to these, you know, a pile of snow. Whoever thought that a pile of snow could be so deep and hiding so much? Allison, do you have a fun character story?
Well, I was actually just going to say that I was in Francesca's play, and I played her mirror, and I wanted to attest to the fact that she's a great director as well as a strong writer. And part of that ability to make an inanimate object have a life has to do with a writer's abilities to put themselves into it. So you were able to tell me how the mirror moved and how what I felt should show up on my face and in my body. And you did a really great job, so that's something I want to give you a shout out to. Yes,
and you did a good job playing my mirror.
And Francesca, can you talk a little bit about the mirror? What was the background of the mirror?
Read it.
You have the character description of the mirror.
I have the monologue
too. Oh, okay. Let's listen to a monologue.
So this is Miranda, and she says she's hyper excited and rocking on her legs.
Tell them who Miranda is before you do the monologue.
She's a porcelain mirror.
What kind of porcelain mirror?
A trapped one.
Welcome to Playwright Workshop.
Uh-huh. Gosh, dig deep.
Where is she trapped?
She lives on a shelf, and there's other china and plates and cups, but she's the only porcelain mirror there, and she's
in the shop, right?
Yeah, she's in the shop, and there's no way out. Like,
it's an antique shop.
Yeah, antique shop. And okay, I'm gonna read this.
Dig deeper, please. Tell us.
Okay. So she's hyper and excited, rocking her leg, and she says, "I could break, but it's a risk worth taking. If it means I could have some freedom, get away from this lonely life, actually go out and live, not be a bother to the cups and chinas, do stuff on my own. When I look down, I have flashbacks of seeing other cups fall. It's scary. It could be me falling, instantly shattered. But the thing is, I have plastic and porcelain. They're not as thick as me. It reassures me that maybe I could make it. Maybe. I've always wanted to get out, to have dreams, and they don't. It's a really big jump from the 12th floor all the way to the bottom. I don't want to die."
Wow. Yeah. And so what happens at the end? You want to spoil it for us?
At the end.
So Miranda is asking Frosty for help.
To help her out, yeah. So Frosty is like, basically he has all that stuff deep inside of him. He has like the gray parts, which are like dirty water snow that's inside of him, and so his fear is for it to be exposed, and mm-hmm. Miranda wants to jump on top of him, which could obviously risk like breaking him, but she wants to jump on him so she can get out. And at the end, you don't really know what happens. It's like you can take it whichever way you want, like if you think that Frosty would help her out or not. But he just basically says it's a risk that they both have to take, and mm-hmm. yeah.
So it's a story of this conflict, but then kind of a friendship,
yeah, it's a
maybe that
big
emerges.
Big risk for both of them, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Allison, do you want to share more about being the mirror?
Well, you also were a very good help with costuming, and mm-hmm. that's a really hectic part of the...
How are you a mirror?
Yeah, how do you be a mirror? I'm curious, did you have something in mind, how you thought we would dress up as a mirror?
No.
When you wrote it?
Yeah. I didn't think about it at all.
The costumes are really, really minimal, but it's really important when you guys give us your ideas, because we just mm-hmm. bring a bunch of stuff, and it's really nice when you're connected enough to your character that you can tell us... Oh, yeah, that works, or that's not what I want. And it was interesting because this mirror was pretty much stationary. I mean, I was I'll speak in the first person. I was afraid to leave this shelf. And so I'm seeing a blinking light. Maybe we should pick this up
fine,
at the
you're
end.
Fine,
oh,
you're
okay.
Fine.
And when the snow pile came in, you had it so well written that I really did want to just jump off that shelf and dive into the snow pile. And I remember Paul mentioning that your writing process, at first you had sort of some jokes in there, like I can't remember exactly how, but stuff like, oh, like sort of like a psych out, like, oh, what's over there? And then you were going to jump in the pile when she wasn't looking.
Yeah. So, he wouldn't let me do that.
Right. No, because that's cheesy. Yeah. Right. It's much more heartbreaking and much more truthful and poignant that if this mirror, you know, dove into that snow pile and broke through that crust and got into that mm-hmm. stuff, you know, that's a lot more meaty and interesting. And,
yeah.
You know, it was a lot more invested for me as well, because obviously jumping down into that could maybe hurt the porcelain mirror, you know, with that hard crust of the snow on the outside, you know. Once you got through the soft snow down to that hard part. You create a really rich character. And you were a very polite director as well. Actually, if you want another cute story about character sketch, I mean, that I have others I could share.
Sure. Let's take a quick fundraising break. But the coaching continues, man. It's still happening. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and I'm here with Playwright People. And here's Carol and Lila.
And hello, we want to give a great thank you to Linda from Portland, who renewed her membership in KBOO. And here we are at Spring Membership Drive Central. And what better way to celebrate the coming of spring than to call right now and support your favorite radio station, KBOO. Call now, 877-500-5266. A donation of $60 a year will get you a wonderful thank you gift, a vintage True Vine t-shirt, a Portland Chinook book, a ceramic mug. We have special thank you gifts for those who donate a minimum of $60 today for this show, the Playwright t-shirt and bumper sticker. It's a lovely black t-shirt with the word Playwright across in beautiful script on the front. We've been listening to women come up with these wonderful, creative plays. We want you to come up with a creative way of supporting the station. We can't be running the station without you.
Yeah, what's really exciting is these Playwright t-shirts are just available for another approximately 19 minutes. Also exciting, we only have $340 to go to make our goal for this show. As you know, KBOO is run by small donations from all of you, our listeners, who call in at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And you can go online also if you're more comfortable doing a secure donation online at KBOO.FM. But if you call us right now, you can talk to our wonderful volunteers who are spending Friday evening with you at 877-500-5266.
And maybe you donated to KBOO a while ago. And for that, we thank you. You might have thought that once was enough, that your gift was good for several years, but keeping KBOO on the air costs us new money every year, and your membership is crucial. Please call now and make a new donation, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO.
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Delphine Crescenzo. I'm here with people working for Playwright. We have Lindsay and Allison, and we also have writer Lynn and Francesca, who were both part of a playwriting workshop. And before we took a Playwright break, we were talking about directing. So let's have the girls share a little bit about what they liked about directing. Rydalyn, what was fun about directing people? Like, what did your peanut butter and jelly sandwich look like in your anaconda?
Okay, so this is so funny. Yeah. My peanut butter and jelly sandwich was like the scrawniest, skinniest, or no. My anaconda was like the scrawniest, skinniest guy, and he was like super tiny. And then my peanut butter sandwich was like this big, muscular, like, buff guy, and it just made me laugh because it's like, you guys don't want to like switch characters, and like, no, we really like being these characters. So it was like really hard to be like, okay, well, the snake has to look over you, but he's kind of looking over you. So he's like, well, I can just get down on my knees and put my hands in my lap or something. So that's kind of what he did. And it was hard because I felt bad. I was like, are your knees hurting? Do you need to get up? Like, I felt really bad. And I was, like, really nervous to direct because I've never directed before. And I just felt bad, like, interrupting them when they were, like, practicing my play. Like, I felt really bad. And my coach said, no, you shouldn't feel bad. Like, that's how these actors learn what to do and what things to change. And so the first time I interrupted them, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I was really, like, I felt bad. And then once they got what I wanted, I was, like, really happy. And I really liked it. And they were, like, really proud of me that I stopped them and, you know, directed him, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
Yeah, that was a cool process. Francesca, how was it for you?
For me, it was the opposite. I love bossing them around. And I wasn't like, oh, I don't know if I should. I was like, well, I kind of tried to be nice because obviously they're my elders and stuff. But I was just like, okay, I don't like how you did that. I just want you to do it like this, you know, like, but it was kind of like overwhelming at the same time. I liked having the power, but it was kind of overwhelming because they're like, okay, how should I walk? I'm like, I don't know, walk like a porcelain mirror. I don't know, like, I don't know how to describe that. Wobble around. And so I didn't know how to describe it, but overall it was just really cool knowing that I did that and that, you know, it was just all me.
Mm-hmm. Allison, you said you had a cool story to tell about a kid directing.
Well, it ties into how we value our writers' voices and how committed we are to that piece of it. And it, I mean, we hope it's empowering, and it sounds like it is, that you get to tell people what to do and how to say your words and that you're listened to completely and 100%. But like you both said, you were pretty polite about the process. Long time ago, we were at a school, and there was a young man who, I was with another actor who's a Broadway actor now and off-Broadway, so he's kind of a big deal, this actor. And so we were in rehearsal, and our writer is pacing back and forth and rubbing his scalp so hard that really his skin was turning bright red. I mean, he was just getting tenser and tenser and tenser, and we finally stopped and said, you know, is everything okay? And he was like, he was sputtering. He really couldn't even answer. So we kept reading. And finally he just erupted and said, you guys are pretty much doing a completely opposite of what I want. And so, but again, it was just such a breath of fresh air that he could say that. And I mean, I'm glad he said it before he, you know, had a heart attack or something, but bless his heart for being able to do that, you know. And I mean, so often you wouldn't have an opportunity to tell someone, gosh, you know, you're not really doing it right. And I mean, even there's a learning opportunity there to, you know, maybe phrase how you are going to speak to people in a little more friendly tone. Not that we care about that, but in other places in the world, you might want to couch your terms. But it was just really neat to see that he could talk to us that way, and we ended up doing it right and not screwing it up.
And also seeing that, yeah, you guys are able to hear him and be fine with it.
Oh yeah,
it's like yeah, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no yeah.
At least he kept it real.
What'd you say?
At least he kept it real.
Yeah, he was keeping it real. Keeping it very real.
So, Rydalyn, tell me what was the most favorite part of that process?
Probably like the whole process or like the ending process or just anything.
Whatever, yeah. From the day one till your play was performed.
Probably getting to know all the coaches, because mm-hmm. I mean, you can't really be comfortable in an environment when you really don't know anybody. So like when you're new and they're new and they're like, oh, this is my name, or oh, you know, hi, this is my name. But when you work with them for like 2 weeks, like I told them at the end, I was like, I feel like this is like a family that we created, because mm-hmm. everybody was gonna miss everybody. And that was probably my favorite part, is just getting to be so comfortable around people. You could just act so stupid, and like they're just like, hey,
like make a I hawk act like sound
that. Oh my gosh. Yeah, like make a hawk sound. So like it's nice to like be around people that don't care, and you could totally like let yourself loose. Mm-hmm. And I mean, because obviously they've let themselves loose once in a while when they act or when they're just in general. I mean, I hope they don't do that in general, but but other than that was
do
probably
you do
my
this Allison in the street
do an impression of a hawk. But anyway, yeah, that was just probably the best process, was being able to get to know all of them.
How about you, Francesca? What was your favorite process?
I really love the end, because like I said, like in the beginning, I was so overwhelmed that I was just like, I don't know where to start. Like, I don't know what it's going to be about. I don't know who my characters are going to be. I don't know what their traits are going to be. I don't even know what to do. But then at the end, it was just like, I did this. Like, you guys wrote it down for me, but like, I basically wrote everything. Like, I just let it all come out and stuff. And like, in the beginning, it was hard. But then at the end, looking back, because we made a few characters, and looking back at the characters, like the first character I ever made compared to the last one, like I got so like much better at describing and everything, and it was just like actually made some. When I first came in, like I was just like, oh, I just want to do this, and 2 weeks away from school for a little bit. But then at the end, I was like, I did all this, and I actually learned a lot about acting. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take our last fundraising break. It is very important that you call and support this program. Community radio is freaking amazing. It is, really. And here's Leela and Carol, who are going to tell you more about what you can get as a thank you gift for donating to KBOO tonight.
And thanks for sending it back to us, Del. We want to thank Jane from Portland for renewing her KBOO membership. And we want to tell you, we're closing in on our goal for the Bread and Roses show. We need 4 more of you to call in the next 10 minutes to achieve our goal, keep Bread and Roses on the air and bringing you the great content that we do, like Playwright. And the young women that are writing plays for the first time, like shows like Emma's Revolution that we brought you last year, authors like Nassim Raqqa, who wrote The Crying Tree, or Catherine Friend, the sheep farmer who wrote Sheepish and spoke to us all about small-time farming as a lesbian woman in Minnesota. We love your listening, and to keep us on the air, call now. 877-500-5266.
And we have a special offer tonight, of course, are the Playwright t-shirts. There's just 9 minutes left to score one of those shirts. They are a thank you gift for a minimum donation of $60. That's $60 donation for the year. 877-500-5266. Again, we're just looking for a few more callers tonight at 877-500-5266. Playwright has done some incredible work with budding young artists, young actors, and helping people tell stories. And that's what KBOO does 24/7. We hear stories, we hear music, we hear news that you can't find anywhere else. It's a gem. It's something to value, and we all value it. And this is our spring celebration, our spring membership drive, a great time to join the KBOO family at 877-500-5266. That's KBOO.FM.
And you know, some of my favorite shows that Bread and Roses puts together, Our Collective is Wonderful, about bringing members of the community into the studio and telling their stories. Others of my favorite shows are when we invite listeners to phone in and share their stories. We listen and we zip it, and we get wonderful participation from you in the community. Please call now. Let us know what you want to hear on Bread and Roses. Make your donation and let us know what you want us to produce for you. 877-500-5266.
That's KBOO.FM. And if you hear that, you know, we always say a minimum amount, $60 or $75. Just keep in mind that small donations are valuable. 80% of our funding is from regular people. So we receive so many small donations that every single contribution counts. Every single one is so important. So now is, of course, the perfect time. It is spring celebration, spring membership drive. We're in a new season now, and certainly in a new season at KBOO with our fantastic new website, our podcast, everything. That's KBOO.FM. But call us. Talk to our volunteers at 877-500-5266. Be that caller that helps us reach goal for this show.
And you know, every donation does count, and there are some of us that can afford a little more. We like to suggest that perhaps your minimum monthly contribution could be the equivalent of 1 hour of your pay. You work for 1 hour a month for KBOO. Just to let you know, for $120 a year minimum donation, that is only $231 a week. You can get a KBOO 4-gig audio flash drive with exclusive KBOO content on it. Recorded talks by Ralph Nader, Helen Caldicott, Noam Chomsky. You can get that for $120 minimum donation per year. That's 33 cents a day. What can you get of this quality for 33 cents a day?
And KBOO, of course, is about community. It's about every one of us, the volunteers that keep this station on the air 24/7, the few paid staff that are KBOO that do the paperwork and make sure the technical piece is done. That is KBOO, and it's all of you, our listeners. It is an extremely unique radio station in the entire Northwest. 877-500-5266. One more time, 877-500-5266.
And we want to thank Pam from Portland for renewing her membership. And thank you all for listening to this program. Everyone who listens, please call in now. 877-500-5266 or KBOO.FM. Click on the tip jar.
And thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Lila and Carol. We are in our last stretch there, and this is Del, and we are here with a playwright talking about really powerful play. We wanted to honor a young woman who couldn't be here tonight, but her play is really amazing. So Allison is going to read a monologue for us.
Yes, this is Ashley the Towel. It's a character sketch. My name is Ashley. I am a hard old towel. I've been used many times to soak up the wetness of things. That has destroyed my image. I've been squeezed and rubbed on stuff. That has ripped my body, the texture of my body not treated well. You can't recognize me from my original towel. The tracks of a car, triangle, dark grayish stripes are on my body. I'm dark purple that was once shiny, but now old and dirty. I'm a large towel because I have a tag that says I'm large. I live under a dumpster. It's smelly like leftover food and diapers. I see shining lights ahead of me. I crawl myself by dragging my body toward the end of dumpster to see the world outside. I got dumped in the dumpster 2 months ago and dragged myself out and fell onto the street. I was afraid because I heard loud noises and dragged myself back under the dumpster. Dumpster is dark, old oak tree brown with yellow stickers on the sides. The sky above is always dark and we hardly get any sun. My fear is being found by the dog and chewed on. A big dog with small eyes you can see the anger in. I've seen him ripping towels little by little, scratches with his nails and runs with them in his teeth, crunching his teeth in. I stay under the dumpster all the time because I'm afraid he'll catch me. I need to be washed. The outside of me feels disgusting and old, making me feel upset and angry at myself for not being brave enough. I have been marked on the outside, and when I look at myself, it triggers memories. I soak up feelings, smells, and dirtiness. If I got washed, my self-image would be positive. I would feel cleaner, fresh, no marks on me. I'd no longer smell. I'd feel special.
We'll leave it to that. I just want last words from Francesca and Ryder Lynn about the performance. How did it feel to see your play being performed by actors in front of an audience? Francesca.
Amazing. At the end, it was just like amazing. I don't know. Like, it was just really big for me. Like, I've never wrote a play or anything. Like, I write little poems and stuff like that. But like, to have people actually know about it and be part of the process with me and to see the final was just amazing.
Ryder Lynn.
It was pretty incredible. I mean, actors know pretty much how to act. So, I mean, I don't know how I felt, honestly. Like, it was like I felt proud because people weren't just, like, sitting there or walking away or just fiddling with their phones. Like, they were, like, paying attention and they liked it. And I think that's what made me most proud. And I think just because my actors were, like, hilarious. I mean, they were really funny. So I'm glad that I got those two for my play.
Yeah. Lindsay, can you tell us where do we find more information about Playwright? If you know, people want to stay posted or aware of what's happening with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. You can connect with us at playwrightinc.org. Playwright is spelled PLAYWRITE. Inc.org. So playwrightinc.org. We have a bunch of stuff up on our website. There are volunteer opportunities. Also, a lot of our performances are free and open to the public. So we encourage everybody to come to one of our performances. You can see all of that information on our website.
Thank you to all of you for coming here tonight. This was really, really amazing. And thank you, listener, for tuning in tonight. Again, to find more information about Playwright, playwrightinc.org, PLAYWRITEINC.org. Brad and Roses is a collective of women hosts, producers, engineers, bringing you feminist news and public affairs programming. That's every Friday. Remember, check us out on the web, kboo.fm/Brad and Roses, on Facebook, KBOO Brad and Roses. We also always welcome new members. So if you are interested in joining, contact Annie Haynes. She's our volunteer coordinator, volunteer at kboo.fm. Thank you, Chris, for engineering. Next week, we'll be back with Leon Kranz. She will be your host. Have a good week, everyone. And I'll leave you with the Digging Roots, Plant a Seed.
If we want to be seen as an equal, if we want to be free as a people, plant the seeds, plant the seeds, plant the seeds. Back in the day we used to raise our maize, planting the seeds and feeding up the people. Today my boys grow to be strong men. I teach by example, they break the cycles of oppression. The gifts to my world as I witness their actions. I see their kindness, respectfulness, and old soul wisdom. My love and I grounded, nothing can stop us. Our family is the circle pushing out with the collective.
Compare, shop, try, and buy at the Better Living Home, Garden, and Lifestyle Show, March 22nd through 24th at the Portland Expo Center. This show will introduce you to businesses and groups in our region that can help you make positive and responsible consumer choices. They'll cover renewable resources, electric transportation, and other ways to leave a smaller footprint on our earth. It's the Better Living Home, Garden, and Lifestyle Show, Friday, March 22nd through Sunday, March 24th. More information can be found at kboo.fm/betterliving2013.
Copper Villain Productions and KBOO Community Radio proudly present GLOMI 2.0, Saturday, March 23rd at The Refuge. Come immerse yourself within a black-lit sea beneath a laser-studded sky. GLOMI 2.0 is a benefit show and Colby Hayden's birthday bash. Entertainment will be provided by Castle, Gutstar, Slovox, The Great Mundane, Mr. Woo, and Mob Echo. That's GLOMI 2.0 at The Refuge, March 23rd, a 21 and over event. For more information and tickets, go to glomi.eventbrite.com.
It is 7.02 p.m., Friday, March 22nd. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next is Hard Knock Radio.
And again, you're tuned to Hard Knock Radio here on the Pacifica Network. I am Anita Johnson, and in the building, we have Zaza Dench as she's moving her mic around, getting ready for us to bring you the top five picks of events happening this week and beyond in the Bay Area. With that said, it's only right that I once again welcome you back to the airways of KPFA of Hard Knock Radio. What's up, Zaza?
Hi, Anita. Thank you for having me once again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you know, you come on, you inform us of these various events that are taking place throughout the Bay Area. As folks already know, you represent, you're the curator of the zlist.org. The zlist is the A-list of Bay Area counterculture. Once again, Zaza is in the building bringing us some really interesting picks for this week, which I'm really excited about. Typically, we do the Thursday conversation, but today we pushed it to Friday just to inform folks of some really amazing events. We kind of broke from the standard or tradition in this particular conversation. So with that said, Zaza, it's all about what's happening this week and beyond. Starting with pick number one, what do we have? What do we have for folks?
The first pick that we have this week is an event that is ongoing, and it is a photography exhibition entitled Gordon Parks Centennial.
Yes.
Which is happening at the Jenkins Johnson Gallery in San Francisco.
And, you know, this is Gordon Parks Centennial. This is going on from now through April 27th. These are photographs by Gordon Parks, certain specific photos that have been chosen, and we're talking about at least 900 images. Phenomenal. I should not have to explain who Gordon Parks is. I think our listeners are very astute and informed. This is really something